Let's just pray as we get into the Word. Lord, we thank you for your Word tonight. We thank you that your Word is living and powerful, Lord, and sharper than any two-edged sword, God. This evening, we thank you that we can trust you, God, that your Word is that we can have a confidence in it, Lord, that we can have a confidence that your Word transforms us, God. And this evening, we yield to that, your Word at work in us, Lord. And we ask, Lord, that you'd shape us and mold us and make us, Lord, this evening, Lord. And Lord, and above everything, Lord, that your name be glorified in this place, Lord, that you would come and speak into every heart and to every situation here in this place, Lord, that we would come and really meet with you, Father, and walk from this place changed, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Great. We are continuing on the response to grace. And last week we touched on what keeps us from entering the rest of God. If you remember, you know, that place of rest that God has prepared for us, that incredible place of peace where it's not our effort, where it's not our, you know, input that counts, where it's really a place where we take a hold of the grace that God has prepared. We've seen that unbelief is what keeps us, often is a big thing that keeps us from entering into that rest. That you know, and we stand before the choice of, are we going to believe what the Word says and what God's promise is in every situation, basically, or are we going to believe what the enemy says, what the accuser says, and what the circumstances often say. And kind of having to make that call very often in terms of, okay, even though it doesn't look plausible or realistic, I'm going to hang on to what the Word of God says and trust and kind of walk with that and really take a hold of that provision that He has made. I don't know if you've ever felt like it, but, you know, often we do feel spiritually tired. We feel like, you know, it's a bit of a dry place. Have you ever heard anybody say, "I'm in a bit of a desert season," you know, or I'm feeling burnt out spiritually, or you know, then we in that place, everything feels like a burden. You know, you going to small group is a burden. Coming to church is difficult and it's tough, and it's even, you know, every little thing is kind of praying, reading the Bible. Everything is kind of, yeah, you know, it's a bit of a tough one. I see, no, none of you have ever experienced that, but that's very good. Praise God. But, you know, it could happen. And I just wanted to, you know, tonight specifically, we're going to look at the grace to serve and going to look at what God has prepared for us in that way. And for me, you know, the Lord a while ago showed me a picture. It's as if many of us, and myself included, you know, we know that the promise of God is that rivers of living water will flow from our innermost being. You know, when we're filled with the Spirit and we're in relationship with Him. That really abundance of life that just kind of comes from within us, and there's an overflow of that relationship that we have with Him. And I think often we don't experience that so much, and then we find we kind of feel now, but we must, something must flow because that's what God says, you know. So we like pump. Saw a picture of us pumping. You know those old manual hand pumps, you know, that. And where I come from, the water is quite deep underground. It's not like it's everywhere. Okay, but. So then you have to pump that water, and then I saw this picture of us kind of really putting in a lot of effort, and there's just a lot of, you know, making it happen, and then there's a bit of a drip of water coming out, and we're like, oh, you know, it's rivers of living water dripping, you know, but it's like a lot of effort involved, and it's quite a burden, basically, and and that's kind of also a picture for me of that place where we're not in the rest of God, where we're really struggling to make it happen, and we haven't really tapped into the grace of God. And then, you know, I really believe God wants us to tap into that rest in a place where when you, you know, drilling for water. Most of you all know what I'm talking about. You know, when you hit that underground, that artesian well, that underground water reservoir, sometimes it's the pressure down there is so high that when they hit that spot, it just blows everything out of the hole. And all your drilling equipment, all your little pump that you were pumping with, everything just goes out the window, and it's just this incredible burst, you know, this fountain of water coming from the earth, you know. And that's a picture of God, where God wants, when we tap into that rest, into the grace that God has made available, it's going to be like that. All our little efforts and all our kind of, you know, our striving is going to just be blown out, and we're just going to see this incredible fullness of life and true rivers of living water flowing and bursting forth. And there's no effort there. You can't really contain it. It just comes, and it just overflows, and it goes everywhere, and it touches everybody around you, and there's not much effort involved. It's really just living water. You see what I'm getting at? And that's what I'm trusting the Lord for tonight, is for us to kind of help, just to take one step closer to positioning ourselves to really take hold of that and not to settle for anything less. And tonight, specifically looking around serving, and I'm not talking only, let's look at Philippians chapter 2 first. Philippians chapter 2 from verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. And we see in the life of Christ and in the Gospels, we see this in basically the best example of that rest. You know, we see Jesus, he's in tune. You know, he's really in tune with the Father. He hears his voice. He says, I only do what I see the Father doing. He's in constant communication with the Father. He's constant communion with the Holy Spirit. And it's so amazing. In every situation where you and I might have been panicking, when people come to kill him, he's just kind of, guys, my time's not yet come. And then he just leaves. You know, he just walks through them type of thing. And it's just because he knows where he's coming from. He knows where he's going. He knows what the Father is saying. And there's just that incredible rest that he operates from, and that incredible grace that he's tapping into. And then we see that same Christ being the most awesome, or, you know, the kind of ultimate servant that we can ever imagine. Now, he's the greatest example of a servant. He comes and humbles himself in obedience to God, and even to the point of the death on the cross. And so tonight we're going to have a look at that, and what is that? How? What makes, you know? What did he have? What was that key to that grace that he tapped into that, or one of the keys to that, the relationship they had with God, and that incredible place of serving that he walked in. And not only when I talk about serving, okay, I'm not only talking about in church or home group, you know, around spiritual things. I believe this is relevant to whether in your workplace or in your community, in your family. Often there's incredible places, you know, everywhere that God has prepared for us to really just to be his hands and feet and to serve people with the love of God. And it's going to take many different forms, you know, whether it be your colleague at work who needs some encouragement, or the person that really, that might be, even the person that's, you know, talking behind your back and telling everybody lies about you, and kind of that one that stole your promotion, that one. You know, there's a place where we can really tap into that grace of even serving that person with the love of God, and serving, even loving our enemies and serving them with the love of God. And so think a bit wider than just church context. Your neighbor next door, person on the treadmill next to you at the gym. Let's read with me from Hebrews chapter 3. Five and six. And Moses indeed was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which would be spoken afterward, but Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. And then John 1:17, which we've touched on quite a few times. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. And now, you know, as we've been walking through this whole grace season, this has come up quite a bit, this grace and truth thing. You know, the law came through Moses, and we almost feel like Moses is like the bad guy. But grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. But the key here is that, what I'm pointing out tonight is that Moses was under the dispensation of the law, and Jesus ushered in the dispensation of grace. And in Hebrews, it's very interesting when you notice there that they make a distinction there. The writer of the Hebrews makes a distinction between Moses under the law, in the dispensation of the law, being a servant, but Jesus, who we know is ushered in the dispensation of grace, he refers to as a son in the house. And tonight, that I'm going to build most of what we're talking about tonight around that. The understanding that is one of the biggest keys of us really tapping into the grace to serve, is to understand that we are no longer servants under the law. We're no longer slaves. We're no longer a hireling and somebody that tries to earn something or make it happen. But but through Christ, we are sons of God. And ladies, please bear with me, okay? We're all sons of God, okay? You know that guy who said that if I can be the bride of Christ, surely you can be the son of God. Amen? So we're all the bride of Christ and sons of God tonight, okay? So I'm not going to say sons and daughters. I'm just going to speak of sons, all right? So so we see the distinction. A son, a slave or a servant is basically working out of a place of obligation. You know, they don't really have a choice in the matter. Got to put bread on the table. Type of thing is an obligation. Where a son is building something. He's work basically coming from a whole completely different perspective. He's a co-heir. As Scripture says, we are co-heirs with Christ. So we kind of with Christ, inheriting this same kind of incredible eternal inheritance. And so that completely changes the perspective from which a son comes in terms of when looking at serving. And that's a challenge that we face tonight. I'm just going to throw out a whole bunch of examples and just to kind of help us to get kind of grips of you know, these two contrasting things, because I really believe there's a place of that God wants us to bring us out under that every bit of the law, that law mentality of I'm going to make it happen, I'm going to, that kind of my striving and my work is going to make it happen. You know, if you've ever felt that spiritual tiredness, then you've been in that place of no, this is a burden, I can't do this, and that slave almost mentality goes very, very closely with unbelief. Kind of, I don't really understand the position that God has for me in the kingdom as a son. I don't really believe that I qualify. And I'm going to kind of just hang on to this type of burden slave thing, okay? Firstly, sons are builders. They look at the next generation, they look at the legacy. We on the other hand, a servant is kind of just at best maintains what is already, kind of just do the minimum, just make, you know, this is what is required of me, so I'll just do this. This is my job description, so that's what I'll do, type of thing. And you'll often see, and I've been amazed, you can see when people have grasped this. And there's amazing, I've even here in London, I've seen testimonies of this with people where you can see this guy's caught this thing. It's not a burden. You know, people, early in the afternoon, and then they last to leave, not only when they're on duty or something, but, you know, it's part of who they are. They're just kind of either packing the storeroom or doing whatever, or the van or something. And it's really a place where, you can see that person has grabbed a hold of something. It's not a burden. It's not a schlep. It's really a joy. Actually, a friend of mine, he was also in London for many years, and we spoke about this once. And I was a bit concerned because he was every Sunday basically doing setup and really busy and working hard. And I knew he was working long hours in his job as well and over weekends and stuff. So I was concerned. So I said, "Listen, are you right? Don't kind of overdo it." So he says, "No," and he explained to me. He explained something to me. He says, when he was here in London, he also was very involved and often kind of doing a lot of the stuff and kind of being involved with the church and the setup and everything. And he kind of, I don't know if he complained to God, but he kind of wrestled with God about it. And often maybe there weren't people to help, I don't know. And he said the Lord said something to him that changed his life. And he felt the Lord saying that whether you're packing chairs, whether you're doing the sound setup, whether you're leading worship, whatever your bit is, or whether it's in small group or wherever, what you're doing has eternal significance. What you're doing adds a little part, plays a role in somebody getting saved, somebody coming from darkness into light, somebody building a relationship with God and coming from, coming into the kingdom. And he said that basically you have a role to play in that, even though it seems very small, but that what you are doing has eternal significance and has a part in that person coming to Christ. And he said, since that day, really, it felt like such a change, because every time he had the opportunity, it was such a joy. And that's what was funny about it, because whenever he was busy, it always looked like he just won the lottery. He'd be just so full, friendly, and he'd be, it's like, I don't know, it's like just, you could see he's enjoying what he's doing and he's loving every minute of it. And it's such a joy because he knows that what he's doing is having an eternal impact. That really was a blessing to me. And I realized that that's something similar that happened in my life, Kind of just approaching it from a complete different angle, but I'll get back to you just now. Like I said, sons are co-heirs, so they inherit, whereas slaves or servants basically take what they can get and always ask, but what's in it for me? Is it worth my while? Am I going to benefit something out of it, type of thing? Sons come from a family, a relational perspective, almost looking out for the relationships, looking out for the family, where servant will be more issue-driven, there's an issue here where a son will look at the relationships first and watch out for the relationships. A servant will want to highlight the issue. And it's very interesting when you listen to the way people speak, and something I've picked up a few times. There was this lady in our church in Johannesburg. Her son was in the church in Stellenbosch, and apparently he'd undergone a very radical transformation when he was born again. So she was very blessed with this, and she could see the fruit in his life, as only a mother can. And so she knew she had to come and visit this church. So she came to our church in Johannesburg. And the second time she visited, she was there one Sunday, and then the next Sunday, she asked me if we could pray together after the service. I said, "No, it's not a problem." And we prayed. Well, she did most of the praying. It's very funny, but she was, very excited, and she was praying, and I was so amazed because she was praying, "Lord, bless us as Shofar Johannesburg, and do this and ask this," and I was amazed because she had caught something that takes other people years. She was praying us and our our congregation and our family. And she was her second time visiting. And there are people that have, you know, been in church for years, and they would come to me saying, you know what the church should do? You know what you guys are doing wrong, type of thing. And I said, no, tell me, you know. And then, but immediately I'm feeling, how, you know, when are you going to catch that thing that you're part of this family? When are you going to feel like this is your house? Because it kind of comes out in the way people speak. And so that's another thing. A servant comes from the us and them thing, where a son is, this is ours, this is our family, this is our house, this is my responsibility. And it's funny, you know, sometimes people say, oh, you know, the guys at the office, you know what you should do? You know, this is, you know what your problem is, you know? And then I say, no, tell me about it. And it's interesting, you know, there's a perception of this, because some people get a salary, there's a difference. Well, we're all in one family. This is all, we're all, you know, serving God, and it's His kingdom, and we basically in a family together, and it's such a privilege to be part of it all together, you know, and to carry, everybody brings their bit and plays their role, and it's just such a privilege, basically. Then, often, you know, it's interesting when things go wrong, you can see what, you know, what's happening. There's a son would want to make things, you know, when maybe something, the leadership has dropped the ball somewhere or something went wrong. A son would say, no, don't worry, we'll cover for him, we'll make it happen, we'll make a plan, we'll go the extra mile. Whereas a servant will say, no, it's not my problem. Or they will just kind of say, no, look at this again. They'll kind of more expose the problem and kind of, the ball has been dropped, or, you know, whereas a son will kind of cover up what's gone wrong. Sons find it easier to honor authority because it's a family, and because we know there's a blessing in that honoring authority, where a servant struggles to kind of with authority and often questions it. Okay, are you still with me, guys? The son is aware of the bigger picture, has a kind of understanding of the vision, he serves that vision. It's kind of a thing of, if it's my dad's and if it's my father's, it's also mine. You know, I'm kind of part owner of this thing. A friend of mine is a part owner in a spa supermarket. Do we have those here? Yes, we do. And it's a franchise. I don't know how it works here in South Africa. It's a franchise, so you buy ownership of it, and then he's a part owner in it. And then he pointed something out to me which I hadn't realized before. But he says some of the big corporate supermarkets aren't franchises, so they have a big corporate structure, and they've got managers and other managers and other managers, and then you've got the store manager type of thing. And he says, you look at the difference between a supermarket that is a corporately run one, where with the manager who's earning a salary, and look at a supermarket that is where there's ownership, where there's a person that is part owner. Because when you go into that supermarket where he's part owner, he's there. If he's not working somewhere, he'll be at the door and he'll greet you. And if there's a problem, he'll be there and he'll sort it out. The place is absolutely spotless. You can eat from the floor if you really want to. And, you know, it's just amazing to see the difference. Where, on the other hand, you find is if it's a job, it's just a job. There's not that the person, there's no bigger vision, there's no understanding, there's no real ownership. You know what I'm saying? And I, since he's mentioned that, I'm always going to pick it up. It's weird to find that. You don't see that often anymore, family-run businesses. But when you do, it's amazing. It's amazing to see that personal commitment that comes in there. Servants, on the other hand, wanted to kind of change the vision, where the son understands the vision and kind of embraces it and runs with it. A servant always wants to know, but I've got a better idea. Let's do this. And then it's kind of that way, you know, kind of always wants to bring division. And in terms of discipline, also sometimes you can see it's a son finds it easier to receive discipline and to accept discipline or correction, where for a servant it's you know not normally teachable, not open for correction, difficult to receive because of that lack of understanding of that relationship. And it's funny, you know, if a pastor. I have great respect for you. He told the story. He said there was this pastor. He wanted to kind of see where his people are at. So he took some cigarette butts and he put them in front of the door of the church venue. And he kind of just put a whole lot of them there and he kind of checking what people do. And it's funny, you know, because if I find cigarette butts just in front of my front door, firstly I'm going to wonder where on earth do they come from. You know, and then maybe wonder if Anna's kind of taking a smoke on the sly. No, I'm just kidding. But, you know, but then I'll get rid of them because this looks terrible. You know, or there's litter or something. You kind of, in your front door, you'll make a plan type of thing, you know. And in any case, that's exactly what he was looking at. He was seeing who kind of ignores it and says, oh, yeah, I'm so glad I'm not on duty because then I would have had to pick all that up, you know. Or, you know, poor guys, poor ushers, they have to kind of get rid of this stuff. And it's funny, but often that's the way it goes, you know. If I'm not on duty, then it's not my problem type of thing. And that's exactly that kind of under the law thing. It's I'm only going to do what's my job description, you know. And the other day at one of the other congregations, I won't say where, gentleman came up to me and he said, you know, I don't know why I noticed these things, but I'm just gonna share this with you. You know, have you noticed that the tables with the refreshment on them, the tablecloths aren't level. They look all skew. And I said, no, I didn't notice, you know, and we look both looking like this and I just had a bit of a laugh because, and he was said, yeah, you know, I don't know, I picked that up. Maybe there's some other people, maybe guys should, you know, kind of fix it type of thing. And I said, oh, okay, you know. I laugh because if that's you and some stuff like that irritates you, I think it's God speaking to you. Because he, you know, things that irritate us, that's the place where you need to get involved. You know, if you spot something, maybe that's God saying, maybe, you know, that's where you should put in your help there. Servants come with criticism. And with a bit of, you know, complaints often, where sons will come with solutions and with suggestions. A son would have just gone and fixed it, wouldn't have made a scene of it, just kind of make it right, carry on type of thing. And if you think about it, you know, it's that. And I remember the times when my dad and I used to do stuff together. It was the best times. My dad is quite a serious DIY type of person. And I didn't inherit all of that, but definitely not the gardening bits because I'm not very good with gardens. Maybe we never had a garden since we've got married, so I mean, you never know. Maybe it's a hidden talent. It's very hidden at the moment. But my dad, you know, we'd be building a shelf here or we'd be, you know, putting in a new part of the garden there, and I always, you know, always, even from when I was little, I used to help, and it was so great, you know. We used to, especially building shelves for my mom and stuff. It was like late, you know. We worked till late at night, and it's not like I was telling him, no, Dad, you know, actually, I can only help you until 5, and then I've got to go play or something. No, you know, or I've got to go do homework or. You know, sometimes get over even past bedtime type of thing. No, this is it. This is the best time. This is my dad and I. We're working, and I'm not really doing much. I'm holding things and passing tools because I'm too small. But it's when we finish it, we did it. We both of us, you know, it was our project type of thing, you know. And with God, it's the same. It's our Father. And it's such an amazing place. It's, you know, we used to bond and we used to share that experience, and that's the best thing. And then with our dad in the heaven, with our father, it's the same. It's his house, and it's our house. Because it's his house, it's our house. And because it's his kingdom, it's our kingdom. And because it's his kingdom coming, yeah, we, you know, we have a part to play. And you know what? It's not a burden. It's for the best for me. And it's such a reward in that, to do that with my dad. Such a bonding there. It's the same with our father. There's no greater fulfillment than to partner with Christ, to partner with God, and to see somebody's life change. Even if I've just backed out the chairs, I had a role in that. A friend of mine used to, I mean, Stellenbosch, I was dumped into this whole servant thing quite suddenly. I'll quickly share this story. I was still early. When I was in London last time, when I was working 10 years ago, I was a luggage conveyance engineer. Did I tell you that? Yeah. I was a porter, okay? Carried luggage in a hotel. Anyway, so I got a word from the Lord that I'm going to be in ministry. I thought, oh, you know, I saw myself standing on a platform with a microphone, you know, and delusions of grandeur. In any case, and then the Lord told me, no, you must serve first. I said, no problem, I'll serve, you know. But I didn't really know what I was saying. And then God dumped me into the whole serving scene. And it's amazing, because at first it was difficult. But as I really became a son in the house, did my internship at Shofar in Stellenbosch, I saw that as I was pouring my life into God's house, He was sorting out my house. He was sorting out every need I had. He was sorting out my issues, because I was focusing on other people and His kingdom and on serving His vision, serving someone, Pastor Fred's vision, and not my own. And the Lord was kind of, as I was building the Lord's house, He was building my house. And how did I get to this? Oh yes, we used to do set up in this big indoor sports center in Stellenbosch. You can seat 3,000 people, and a lot of the seats on the sides are fixed, but the ones in the middle we had to pack out. About 800 or more. And later on we actually employed people to do that, but that stage we were still, you know, we had packed every chair out, It could have been a great burden. We didn't do it on Sundays, obviously. Sunday morning, we just didn't have enough time. So most of Saturday we spent doing the setup in the afternoons and everything. Sometimes there, one time a policeman found me there 11:30 at night, and he kind of asked, what on earth are you doing? I said, I'm almost finished type of thing, just plugging in the last few cables, you know, just getting everything ready. But it wasn't a burden, because I knew tomorrow people are going to get saved in this place. Tomorrow we're going to have people coming to know Christ. Tomorrow in this place, every chair is going to be filled with a person that God wants to connect with. And a friend of mine took it even to the next level. He was, when they were packing our chairs, it was still in another smaller hall. But he used to pray for every chair. And he used to ask God for words of knowledge for people. And when the service started, he used to know in which chair the people would sit who don't know God. And he used to stand at the back and he used to pray for them, because God would show him exactly where. And then when the invitation came for people to respond to the word, he would know, there's the hands that he knew, that person sitting there, that one there. And he had such an excitement, such a joy to partner with God in that way. Even in such a little thing as packing out the chairs. And we could see really, you know, a different, completely different way of approaching it. And a joy to partner with God in that thing. Now, you'd really grasp that thing. You'd really tap into the grace to serve Him. And to serve in that way. And I just want to commend you guys. There's some people here doing the hard stuff in the background. Nobody sees, nobody knows, and serving long hours, and I just want to encourage you that there's a place where you partly have credit for souls that are being saved, for people's lives that are being changed. I want to encourage you, don't get tired, don't get despaired, but take a hold of that grace that is there. Not that it won't be your own effort, but that it truly be the grace that God has provided for you in that place. And in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 to 12. And he himself, as Jesus Christ, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edification of the body of Christ. And we love to do that verse 11 of, you know, this is the fivefold ministry, the gifts of Jesus to the church, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, and then we normally stop there. But let's see what their job is, okay? Well, they're the gift that Jesus gave to the church for what reason? For the equipping of the saints, that is, believers, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And amazing thing is we've all got a part in this thing. We are being prepared. We are being equipped to do the work of the ministry. Whether it be a little thing at home group, whether it's your turn to cook food at home group, whatever it is, what your role is, it's the work of the ministry. It's the kingdom of God coming. Whether it is at work or at church, specifically here in this context, every one of us here is a minister of the gospel in some way, and we have a role to play. And it's, and not only, you know, if you think, you know, that the person I was talking about packing chairs and praying for them and trusting God for words of knowledge is Pastor Sias. He's now on the apostolic, what do you call it, the XCOM or something. But he's at HQ and he's in charge of our church planting and missions. Basically, church missions and church planting, and if that's where you start, you just by being faithful with packing out the chairs and praying for every soul and every chair, that's God can work with that. You know, He can take you somewhere. But if you're gonna stay under the law and remain a slave and to the law and to your own efforts, you know, and it's really this incredible source of grace that God has for us. That we haven't tapped into. And so we are being equipped and we're all ministers for the edification of the body of Christ. In Philippians 2, verse 22, did you know that Timothy has proved himself because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. Such a great example of Paul discipling Timothy. Timothy being Paul's son in the faith, in the spirit. And Paul says, as a son with his father, Timothy has served with me in the work of the gospel. He's caught this thing. He's a son in the house. He's laboring alongside his dad. You know, they know where they're going, they know that what they're building, and he's been a faithful son. Such an amazing example. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 26. How is it then, brethren, whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification. This is where Apostle Paul writes to the Corinthians church, and he's kind of expounding on the gifts of the Spirit and how to go about it in the context of the service, etc. And I really believe this is a season that God is taking us into, a season where we step out of our, you know, as we said last week, cease from our own work, step out of that incredible burden and you know, effort, and step and into the grace that he has prepared, into the rest of God, taking hold of that grace, feeling that, you know, parachute open and just soaring on the wings of the Spirit, on the grace that he has made available. And specifically, like, and as the scripture says, whenever we come together as believers, whether it be for a social or whether it be for our home group or at church, know that each one has got something to bring. Each one has got a gift. Has got, whether it be a role in a setup, or whether it be worship, or whether you come, you know, I know it doesn't come naturally for all of us, but you know, coming to church, come and pray on your way. You know, pray, be prayed up. Trust God for a word of encouragement for someone. You know, if you join us for intercession beforehand, that's amazing. That's where the real stuff happens. Often, you know, intercession, that's where in the spirit the battle is fought, so that the ministry can happen, yeah, in the worship and in the word. If the intercession doesn't happen, this is very tricky and difficult. And that's where the things are established. Often the words that come, you know, and specifically in Johannesburg, often there was, you know, so many words coming from intercession that I could have just not preached, because everything I wanted to say had already been said. Because what happens in intercession, you know, God is not confused. And so I want to really encourage you, join us there and come with that expectation. When you go to home group, pray, Lord, I just want to bring something. I just want to tap into that grace to serve tonight. Serve somebody with just a smile, or a word of encouragement, or a word of knowledge, or a word of wisdom, whatever it may be that somebody needs. I want to bless someone. And not out of my source, but out of that fountain, out of that unquenchable, that unending source of life, that river of living water. Not out of, yes, I'm doing it, I'm making it happen, but I'm just tapping into that incredible reservoir, that grace that is available for us. Yeah, and I want to encourage you guys, if something has happened in the week, God has blessed you, has come through for you, share it. You know, if you have a testimony, if you God has given you a word and you feel is applicable to the body, don't be afraid, you know. Do you want to share something? I'll give you a chance in a moment. Okay. Almost done. But I believe there's a place that we can come with that expectation. You know, that everyone has a part to play. Whether you're on duty or not, you'll see in the next month or two, we're going to change things around a bit, around the services and the way we do duties and things. And we really trust God for every person to find a place where they can play a role. But we'll explain everything and we'll talk you through it. But I want to really encourage you. It's an exciting season. Season knowing that wherever I find myself, if God has put me in this body, and he's given me grace to serve here. And he's given me an abundance of provision for that, for every good work. You know, often we're afraid, no, but I'm so pressed for time. I can't even get round to my friends and family. You know, time is such an issue, or finance is an issue. But know that when you tap into that grace, there's an abundance for every good work. There's provision for every good work that God has laid before us. And that includes time, that includes resources. I've often found if I pour myself, you know, into what God lays before me, into the works that he has prepared for me, there will be more than enough left, time and resources and everything else for family and friends and whatever needs to happen. If you can stand with me, if you want to come and share.
Hi, my name's Cara, if you don't know me, but there's actually two things I want to share with you today. The first is that I felt like laughing out loud throughout this whole sermon, because actually this week I've been coming, I stayed home for the whole week and I live with two other housemates with my husband, and somehow there's always a few plates or things like that left over when I have to wash up, that's like in between our stuff, and like I hate washing up, so always I define it, like, you know, this is my stuff, yeah, I definitely use this, and I always want to leave it, and I feel really bad, but you know, anyway, I woke up this morning and I just felt God like soften my heart, and he was like, what are you doing? You know, like, they're actually not saved, these two that I live with. And God really asked me, please, like, you need to witness to these people, whatever you can do. Anyway, I thought to myself, okay, that's probably it, you know, the washing up, the one or two plates. So I went downstairs and I packed the dishwasher and I started on a couple of plates and I went to turn on the dishwasher and it was broken. And my husband had to leave for Birmingham and my housemates had to go away. So I was left there unpacking the whole dishwasher, which we stacked to the top for the first time. And so I was like, no way am I doing that. And I walked past the kitchen about 10 times this morning and I just went, really, God, really? And it was stuff for about 4 days. And so I turned on the music and I was like, yeah, I love you, God, doing the dishes, all of the dishwasher. So that's the first thing. Thank you, because I had to really get the mindset of a son today. The second thing is I found out the best news 2 days ago. I used to live with a share house, four other people in Australia. When I moved in there, I really felt God wanted me to pray for them. And two of them gave their lives while I was living with them. But I always wondered why God wanted me so much to pray for this one other girl there. And I kept praying for her even though I came to Australia. And I got an email 2 days ago and she says, out of nowhere, she gave herself to God. She loves Jesus and thank you so much. And yeah, and I just thought, wow, God, like I only prayed for 2 years for this girl and it happened. So thank you, God. Yeah.
Hallelujah. Praise God. It's really, you know, when we tap into that thing, when we grab a hold of the grace that God has for us to serve, it's not a heavy thing. It's a joy, and it's a blessing, and it's still hard work. That's a funny thing. You don't sweat less. You pack out 800 chairs, but it's great. We used to make it fun. We used to do all kinds of funny things that we did, put on music, whatever, but it's just great because it's a joy because this is my father's house. It's my house. You know, when visitors come, I want you to treat them like they're visitors in your house. Make yourself at home, sit with them. When somebody comes to visit, do you have them sit there and then you have your coffee there? Help yourself to some coffee there, you know, kind of have fun, type of thing. No, you kind of, you chat to them. How you doing? Make yourself at home. It's our family. Welcome. And, you know, my dream, I don't know if I've mentioned that, but I believe we need to the place where a visitor will walk in here, whether they are somebody that looks acceptable to us socially, dresses the same, or whether they from a completely different background, maybe a prostitute or somebody that's full of, you know, metal and black and, you know, funny hair and everything. But when they walk out of this place, that they have like 3 coffee dates and 2 dinner dates and just overwhelmed by just people reaching out, you know. That's just having them feel welcome because this is our house. And it's not, I'm not on the welcome team, so I'm just going to ignore that weird guy in the corner. No, it's my house, so you're welcome. And it's great to have you. I'd love to meet with you in the week. I'd love to have a coffee. See where you're at. Maybe I can serve you in some way. Don't say that aloud. There's a grace that God has prepared for us. And I really, this picture is so clear to me that, you know, that we don't stop pumping. If you're pumping and you're pumping to see a trickle of living water, then tonight God wants to tap and to just break through into that source that is just bursts forth, that blows all your efforts out of the ground. It's just, you can't contain it. Because it's rivers of living water. It's grace that overflows. Grace that abounds. Where sin abounds, grace abounds more. Where God has prepared good works for us. He says, I've got an abundance for every good work. Not just enough. Not just so you're scraping by. It's an abundance. Above your need, He gives us bread to eat and seed to sow. It's so powerful. There's enough for us to eat, but there's enough left for us to sow and to give and to plant and for what lies ahead. Many of you, I know you've caught this thing, but I want to encourage you, don't go back under the law, don't get tired, don't get burnt out. If you feel like that, know that you might not be plugged into the source of that grace that is available, that He has for us. Let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, that we thank You for Your word tonight. We thank You for Your Son that humbled Himself and came in the form of a man to serve us with Your love, God, to show us Your love in the most incredible way. A Son that was obedient and His serving went to the point of death, the death of the cross, where He laid down His life, God. And tonight, Lord, we know we cannot survive unless we tap into that resurrection power. Lord, that we know, Lord, that You've given us that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, Lord. And I pray in the name of Jesus tonight, Lord, that we would no longer settle for anything less but rivers of living water, Lord, because that's Your promise, Lord. That when You receive the Spirit, rivers of living water will flow from your innermost being. Lord, that we would tap into that source of grace, Lord, that unending source, Lord, of Your grace that is available for us. And I pray, and I feel specifically, Lord, for us here, that You want us to walk in that resurrection power every minute of every day, Father. It won't be just a survival or a just kind of making it and pumping and pumping and making it happen and seeing the trickle of life, Lord, that we would know that once we tap into that thing and once we step into that rest, that place of rest, God, we will know that constant flow of life, abundance of life. We thank You for that, God. I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, that You'd help us, Lord, if there's any unbelief in our hearts, Lord, anything that says, no, You're not a son, or no, that doesn't apply to You, you're not really a son in the house. And Lord, I expose every lie tonight in the name of Jesus. I expose every seed of unbelief in the name of Jesus. And I thank You, Lord, tonight that we can choose to take a hold of Your promise, that we are co-heirs with Christ, Lord, that we are sons in the house of God, that we're no longer slaves, that we are a part of that inheritance. It's ours, Lord. It's our house. I pray for hearts tonight, Lord, that people that have labored in their own efforts and in their striving, in Jesus' name. I thank You that You deliver us tonight, Lord, from that, under that law, under that slave mentality, Lord, that tonight as the son that returned, the lost son, the prodigal son, and thank You, Lord, I'm just reminded of that picture, Lord, that some of us need to come home tonight, Lord, that as the son was coming, the father stood up, and He ran to meet Him. And He put a robe on Him and clothed Him and put sandals on His feet and put a ring on His finger. And they rejoiced. And thank You, Lord, that tonight You want to welcome people back. People that have been struggling, Lord, that have been striving and have been getting tired. And tonight You want to welcome them back and say, come. There's provision in the house. I've got a clean robe for you. I've got sandals for your feet. I've got a ring for your finger. I've got a plan. I've made provision for you. God, and I thank You that even when people come from the outside, Lord, that they would see, Lord, and they would experience, they would taste and see Your goodness in this place, Lord. Taste and see the provision that You've made, Lord, and they would taste of that living water, God. Lord, that the people would be drawn into this family in such a loving way, God. God, I pray that You open our eyes, Lord, to see the need in our workplaces, in our communities, Lord. See the opportunities that You've given us to serve those around us with the love of God and in so many practical ways, God. And I thank You for the grace that we can tap into, the grace to where it becomes such a joy, Lord, where we know we're partnering with You, where we know this is my dad, this is his project, and I'm in it with him, Lord. I thank You for that, Lord, that partnership with You, God. I pray You open our eyes to see where You're busy working, and we can just jump in there and take part, Lord, in Jesus' name. We thank You for Your faithfulness, God. God, and we humbly lay this before You, Lord. And we pray that You'd finish this good work in our lives, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. mean, if you, I just want to challenge you tonight. If you've, if some of this have kind of spoken to you, you know, you've been working hard and pumping the living water, and you've, it's been a, maybe there's been some of the things that I've mentioned that you've kind of identified with in terms of being a burden to you and being a struggle. I want to challenge you to come forward, and especially if you've, you felt that you don't really belong, you're not really a son. And then tonight I believe God wants to receive you back as a son and affirm you in that place. So while we, oh, well, in the rest, you're welcome to enjoy some refreshments. But if you, yeah, you want to share something, okay, before you go.
Hi, can you hear me? I'm Lazan. I don't know if anyone, anyway, doesn't know me. Basically, I'm not good with this. I'm a nanny, so in London, I normally stay with the family that I nanny to. And so I don't really have a place to go every time. You know, I'm not working, so I normally have a place to stay every time. And when I'm, because I'm like a temporary nanny, so I do 5 months here, 4 months there and stuff. And when I don't have a job, I'm like, okay, and I'm praying, Lord, please, next job, going to be a great job and stuff. And normally the Lord, like, gives me a job, like, a month ahead. So I'm like, oh, great. Now I don't have to worry about that. Anyway, go on with my life, and then I get the job, etc. and stuff. And the same with when I like need a place to stay for that little bit in between jobs. And I don't know if some of you know or not, I went on a 3-week Euro trip. And as I went on the Euro trip, I didn't have a place to stay. Like after I came back from the Euro trip, I don't have anywhere to go. But I know, okay, the Lord will, He will give me a place. And I can remember I sent so many emails to Pastor Yaku because I was like, you know, people in the church, please, if anyone knows anything, you know, please let me know because I'm on a trip and it's almost time to come home and I've got nowhere to go. And the last day, I mean, the 19th of October was the last day of our trip. And we came back to London and we were on the bus to Canada Water Station. And I was sitting there, I'm like, I have nowhere to go. And I just said, Lord, I it's like 20 minutes away and we're there and I still have nowhere to go. But I trust you will provide for me. I'm not going to even stress about it. And as I switched my phone on, I got a message from Roz saying, you know, she knows of someone and stuff. And I needed a place for 2 weeks, exactly 2 weeks, because I'm flying home. And then Steph went back to South Africa for only 2 weeks. So I can't, that's just perfect. So praise the Lord.
Amen. God is good. He's never late, eh? Amen. I've been there many times, like watching the clock, but Lord, surely you know what time it is now, you know. Yeah, God is so aware of that, He knows. So, yeah, if you need prayer tonight, even if you're ill, I want to challenge you with that. We've been challenged with that this week. The office, scripture says, if you're ill, or, you know, call the elders, let them anoint you and pray for you, and you will be raised up. And it's, we've kind of just, we neglect that. You know, we kind of struggle, take a few pills and go to the doctor, and then 2 weeks later, we kind of, oh yeah, will you please pray for me? So I want to really challenge you, when you're ill, just call us, call the leader, and that's what the scripture says, and God is faithful. He doesn't change His mind about healing either. Amen. If you need any prayer, if you have any need whatsoever, or if you want to just respond to this word, please come forward and we'd love to pray with you. God bless you.